Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Feeling like you need a punch of energy? Enter Wonderful Pistachios. I love them. The snack that packs a protein punch, and the best part, they come in so many flavors and so many sizes. Whether you're on the go or chilling at home, Wonderful Pistachios, they're the go-to snack for me. Here's the real kicker, the protein. These little wonders are one of the highest protein nuts out there. Just 1 ounce serves up a whopping 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. So visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. I love them. Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday on Fox Sports Radio at noon to 3 Eastern, 9 a.m. to noon Pacific. Find your local station for the Herd at FoxSportsRadio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Fox Sports Radio or FSR.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
All right, here we go. Hour number two, live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, thanks for making us part of your day. Now, mock drafts are everywhere. Joel Klatt in 5 minutes will have his too. But we are 4 weeks out, J-Mac. And I think one of the things, it's not just the best players. It's about needs. It's about fit. It's about cultural styles. Jim Harbaugh, in my opinion, is all about, he mentioned it yesterday, building up an offensive line to play power football, protect Justin Herbert, and run the ball. They were 25th in rushing last year. So I think about everything. Why? What does Harbaugh like to do? What do the Jets need to elevate the guy running the franchise, Aaron Rodgers? So this is going to be, I'm going 1 through 12. I've given it a lot of thought, made calls, contacted sources. Are you ready?
Trades. Come on.
You know you can have trades.
You can have
trades. Anytime you have a lot of quarterbacks in the top 15, you're going to have trades.
Okay. Fair enough.
When you got defensive linemen, unless there's like Aiden Hutchinson or something like that kind of play, we don't have a dominant defensive player this year. We've got good ones. But this is really an offensive draft. It's offensive tackles, wide receivers, quarterbacks.
Yeah.
That's what this draft is. And it is the best offensive tackle draft ever.
You could have seven of them in the first round.
Yeah. There's another seven in the second round. So it's a great offensive tackle draft, and a lot of teams need it. So here we go, my mock draft. All right, Chicago Bears number one are going to take, and Ryan Poles has shifted this the last year to offense, they're going to take Caleb Williams. They bring in Keenan Allen, DeAndre Swift, Gerald Everett, last year DJ Moore. Poles, a former offensive lineman, started building up this offensive line 3 years ago with draft capital. This team will be offensively productive with a playmaker, the only college player the last 2 years that had 10 rushing touchdowns each year at least, and at least 30 passing touchdowns with a bad O-line at Southern Cal. He goes number one. Number two, the Commanders take big, strong, and sturdy Drake May. Bad offensive line. Sam Howell got sacked more than any quarterback. You're not going to go for a spindly quarterback in cold weather. They need a Justin Herbert clone. 6'4 to 6'4.5, 225 pounds, big arm, can move. This is not a great O-line. He's going to get bumped around. The last thing you need is a 200, 205-pound quarterback. Drake may go second. I don't know if it'll work, but the New England Patriots need playmakers. They don't have him on the outside, and Jaden Daniels is a playmaker. He's got some Lamar Jackson. He'll run around. He'll throw it around. Listen, they're sub-500 by 9 games since Brady left, and he actually fits. I just don't know if Jerod Mayo offensively can get him where he needs to be, but they just don't have enough speed and playmakers, so you might as well go put it at quarterback and see what transpires. By the way, Lamar Jackson didn't have a great receiving core until this year, and they won a lot of games. Patriots get Jaden Daniels. This feels like an easy one. Marvin Harrison, an all-time college receiver, goes to Arizona. They lost Hollywood Brown. Kyler Murray's got a star running back, a tight end he likes. He needs a number one receiver. Harrison's personality is a bit quiet and reticent. That's fine. Kyler will make up with it. He's in the headlines. They need a great playmaker, and I think this guy's in the Randy Moss, Calvin Johnson prototype of a star day one in the NFL. The Chargers trade down with Minnesota and get both of their first-round picks. This is what Jim Harbaugh, I'm told, wants, and the Vikings select J.J. McCarthy, who will sit a year behind Kevin O'Connell, great left tackle, run back, two receivers. This is an offensive division. Darnold's not the long-term future, but like an Alex Smith with Mahomes, he'll be a great mentor for a year. I think J.J. McCarthy is a B-plus prospect, but in Minnesota with this coach and these pieces, I think he can have real success. The New York Giants are going to take Malik Nabers, who is like Odell Beckham, but I think more durable. They just don't have enough weapons. They don't have playmakers. They were 30th in scoring, and I don't think they want the fifth best quarterback in this draft. I don't think Bo Nix, for them, works here, or Michael Penix works here. Darren Waller, the tight end, is considering retirement. Saquon Barkley is gone. They got to give Daniel Jones something to work with, and they don't want to take a huge cap hit. And this kid can fly. He's got some Odell Beckham, but a little bit faster and maybe more durable. This feels pretty easy. Titans take Joe Alt, Notre Dame tackle. They got a bad O-line. The only way Will Levis is going to succeed, whether he does or not, is if he has some protection. He's athletic. I think he played a little tight end in high school. A dominant left tackle and a draft filled with them. Titans take Joe Alt. This feels pretty easy, too. They got the O-line receiver, quarterback, running back, tight end fixed. I think the Falcons take Dallas Turner, best rush edge in the draft. They haven't had like a double-digit sack guy since Vic Beasley. So this team actually, and it's a defensive coach. Defensive coaches, D'Amico Ryan had a couple of first-round picks. He got a quarterback, and he got an edge rusher. All right, this guy got Kirk Cousins. He's going to go get an edge rusher. They don't get double-digit sacks. They haven't had anybody since, like, 2016 and Vic Beasley. I think after getting Caleb Williams, the Bears would like to trade down. There's no takers, and they take Jared Verse, Florida State, defensive edge. Can't have a good enough pass rush when you're facing the Lions, offensive line, and all those receivers and skilled people for the Packers. They got to get Montez Sweat some help. They got a great corner, one defensive lineman. Let's get a second one. They only had 50 sacks last year under Matt Eberflus, 12 fewer than any other team. So Montez Sweat is the beginning. I think they'll go and get another edge rusher potentially later in the draft. They got older tackles, so I think the Jets get Rome Odunze from Washington. Garrett Wilson is their one. Mike Williams is good, but can't stay healthy. Alan Lazard's more of a 3 to a 4. This kid will walk in very comfortably, be a 2, big catching radius. Also an adult, a very disciplined, focused, hardworking player. No distractions from a noisy franchise. I think he will really work in New York. Rome Odunze, who I watched play 10 games this year, impact very early. The Chargers, who moved down to 11 in that trade with the Vikings, go offensive line, maybe the best interior run-blocking tackle in the draft. You can move him inside or at right tackle. The Chargers take from Oregon State, Talisi Fuaga. He's just a mauler. Lost very few snaps all season. Just mauled people. And one of the best run blockers in the class. They may slide him inside, probably keep him right. This is a team that couldn't rush last year, and I don't buy into a wide receiver with the Chargers. They want more picks. They want to get physical. I think later in the first round, they'll take an edge rusher or a defensive tackle. And at number 12, the Broncos trade down. They need more players. The Seahawks move up and take Michael Penix, the quarterback from Washington. He can stay in the same town. The Seahawks offensive coordinator was Michael Penix, offensive coordinator in college. Seattle doesn't owe Geno Smith any money next year. I think he throws the prettiest ball in the draft, including Caleb Williams. I think he throws a beautiful football. He gets his coordinator. You can say it's a bit of a reach, but Seattle's got their pieces. They've got corners. They've got two backs, multiple receivers, a left tackle, linebackers. Seattle's got a lot of pieces here. I think they have the ability to give up some draft capital to take a guy who throws an absolutely beautiful ball. Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, tight ends. Seattle's ready to win. So there is my first round. A couple of moves. I think Denver at 12 moves back. Just a couple of spots. So if they want to get Bo Nix, they can. But they need a second round pick. They need draft capital because they got about six needs. And I think the Chargers desperately want back. They get two first with Minnesota. Joel Klatt has his own mock draft, but let's bring him on right now to discuss a few things here. Some of the stuff felt like Atlanta, Tennessee, Chicago. I kind of feel those are, like, those aren't even, right? Like, you kind of agree with those, right? Those three feel right, don't they?
Yeah. No, I agree with a lot of what you just did there. I felt like maybe you were copying some of the things that I may have done in my mock draft. But that's, you know what? That's fine. That's fine. Smart people do that sort of thing. I would say that this Vikings move up for J.J. McCarthy seems to me through this process, talking with people, to be not just like a good idea or have some momentum behind it, but seems almost imminent, Colin, that the Vikings are going to make this move. And I think that they may have to go up to four because of teams trying to get into that top four. And I think that we're going to have four quarterbacks taken right off the top, right in a row, 1, 2, 3, 4 in this draft.
No college football analyst, other than the voice of the Michigan Wolverine, saw J.J. McCarthy more than Joel Klatt. You know, when they decide against Penn State to not let him throw, people are like, whoa, 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 whoa. My thing is, I think Caleb would succeed anywhere. Andrew Luck, Trevor Lawrence. But I think most of these young guys succeed based on where they land. If I'm J.J. McCarthy, this feels like perfect. You saw him a lot. Are there one or two things that you are a little hesitant if the fit wasn't perfect?
That's a great question. So first of all, yes. I mean, and just to give you some level of backing on, I saw him a lot. I saw him 16 times the last three seasons.
Wow.
So I've seen every, you know, basically every snap that he's taken, and he's grown a lot. I think my one question, and it's more of a question rather than a knock on him, is that the volume of times that he was asked to do what Michael Penix did, which was stand in the pocket and control the game from the pocket and a full field read down the field, was not nearly the volume that Penix did that. Penix did it, you know, 15, 20 times per game this last year, and McCarthy maybe did it 4 to 6 times per game. That type of rep volume is not in his bag. Now, having said that, when you watch J.J. McCarthy's game, and as he's grown and as he's matured, what you're going to see is a guy that totally impacts the game in a positive way for his team in crucial situations, and namely on third down. You know, when you watch first and second down, you get lulled into the Michigan way and the Michigan philosophy and their schematics, Colin, and they're going to run the football and they're going to do what Michigan does. And then on third down, a lot of it was like, okay, JJ, now it's in your court. And the reason that they went 15-0 and the reason that they won the national championship was that they had a player that could go above the X's and O's in the moments that they needed him to, namely on third down and third and long. And when you watch those cut-ups, you can immediately see and feel why these GMs and decision makers in the NFL are falling in love with J.J. McCarthy. They want players that can do that. And quarterbacks in the National Football League, crunch time, have to do that. And he can.
You know, Marvin Harrison's dad was, you know, very reluctant. He was a guy, I've heard stories that after practice, he'd go home, he wouldn't shower. Like, he did his own thing. So, you know, so when I hear about Marvin Harrison, again, no college football analyst has seen more Marvin Harrison than you.
Yeah.
I kind of put him in that true. Randy Moss, Calvin Johnson. He just looks different. It's just like Jamar Chase. You were like, okay, that's a Sunday player playing on Saturday. I don't know. I don't see a huge weakness with Harrison. Maybe he's not a burner. What do you think?
No, I mean, listen, when you go to the GPS numbers, so they wear the catapult system. Everybody does, right? So the 40 is basically irrelevant. I know that the combine is basically a made-for-TV event. Yeah. Pro days are totally worthless. If you want to know how fast a player is, then you go to the data that is collected by the university on the field through the catapult system. It's a little device that everybody wears, whether it's practice or games. So in the GPS system, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr.'s speed is excellent. Excellent game playing speed. I did see him a lot. I don't think it's Megatron, Randy Moss. Those guys just physically dominated the game.
Yeah.
Physically, they were just bigger, faster than the people around them. Harrison is just cleaner than everybody around him. He is a tactician in a lot of ways. And he has studied the game. And talking with Brian Hartline a lot, who's the best wide receiver coach in college football and probably will be a great, you know, NFL coach at some point. He talks a lot about the information you give with your route to the defender. And everybody to a man at Ohio State, including all the former wide receivers. So we're talking about Jackson Smith and Jigba and Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave and Brian Hartline as coach. All of them say the exact same thing, which is nobody did it better or cleaner than Marvin Harrison Jr. This is why he can impact the game in such a positive way for his team. On big downs and impactful downs, third downs. Watch his tape last year against Joey Porter Jr., an excellent top-end NFL draft corner, and he just owned him. Why? Because he runs exquisite routes, and then he capitalizes once the ball is there. Great hands, great body control, all of it. I didn't cover Randy Moss and Calvin Johnson. I have not covered in person a better wide receiver in college football than Marvin Harrison Jr.
So, tight ends are interesting. A lot of the ones that got hyped in my life, Kyle Pitts, there was a kid out of Penn State, Brady. Kyle Brady. It may have been Kyle Brady. And you watch him, and it's like they were dominant in college, and you watch him in the NFL, you're like, oh. And then George Kittle comes from Iowa. Iowa, just like a machine, just gives us tight ends every year.
Sam Laporta.
Yeah, and the reason it is because Iowa really makes their tight ends block. And that is often the difference, is these guys run around and – Utah, by the way, with Dalton Kincaid, Utah makes their tight ends block. So I don't know if Georgia does or not. I look at Brock. You have him going to the Chargers, and I just think Jim's going to go meat grinder. Anything about Brock Bowers that screams, watch out, Kyle Pitts, it may not be what you think.
No, I think that he's better in line as a blocker than Pitts was. The reason I love him to the Chargers is because I don't think Jim is going to change his MO. I think that the way that he wants to play and the way that he wants to move the ball on offense is pretty clear. It's been clear ever since he was at Stanford. And then it was clear when he was at San Francisco. And then it's been clear when he's at Michigan. And what he values is mauling offensive linemen and tight ends. He loves to play with multiple tight ends. And the only way you can play with multiple tight ends and get away with it at the NFL level is if one of them can have the ability to flex, and that's certainly Brock Bowers. Now, it's great when they can do both, and I think that he can, but what gets lost in I think at least, in the coverage of the NFL is how important it is to have a really great tight end. Colin, look at the last 8 Super Bowl champions, and here's what you're going to see. Is you're going to see that there's an offensive threat. Now, whether it's a slot like a Cooper Kupp or a tight end, like Gronkowski or Kelsey, you're going to see an offensive threat that can own the middle of the field. imperative. It's imperative that you have that player. Nobody wins a Super Bowl because their best offensive player is an outside wide receiver. That doesn't happen. I think that the number one wide receiver in the National Football League is severely overvalued, and we undervalue tight ends and middle of the field controllers. That's why I value Brock Bowers so high. That's why I think that the Chargers will look at him, in particular with the philosophy of what Jim Harbaugh does. And if they were to trade back, which I have them doing, taking Bowers, they would still have the opportunity to get an offensive lineman with a second first-round pick after trading back in order to get Bowers and an offensive lineman. Now you get the best tight end in the draft. You can get an offensive lineman that can do exactly what Fuaga can do from Oregon State. And I think then the Chargers are really set up to do what Harbaugh wants to do. And it's pretty clear to me, his MO is not going to change. He has won the exact same way everywhere that he's been, and he's going to do that with the Chargers as well.
All right, if we have mock draft for Joel Klatt, put it up. We do have a lot of similarities, but I do think a lot of this, half of these picks, I feel like very secure in them. I think, you know, I like Tennessee needs a tackle. Atlanta needs an edge rusher. Chicago needs a quarterback. Yep. We've got some differences here. You have a tight end of the Chargers. You have Bo Nix. I think Denver's going to trade out of it and still get Bo Nix. Five picks later with Seattle, I do think Bo Nix is the fit here. He got a very Drew Brees history where he moves really well, which Drew did early. Drew moved early in his career. Later, he didn't. But I think we're mostly onto this stuff. I will tell you, the Caleb Williams stuff, apparently he had fingernail polish and a pink phone at a women's basketball game, and the internet imploded. And I said, listen, it's generational. What you wear, what you eat, who you date. I do think quarterbacks need to, after games and at that podium on Wednesday, diffuse noise, give teammates credit. You know, I banged on Baker for years. Like, dude, you're starting fires, not putting them out. Right?
Wait, you did?
Yeah. People have suggested
no,
I did.
No, you didn't.
But he did get better
so
at it.
So you're fine with the fingernail polish and the pink phone, but the backwards hat is a bridge too far.
It way too far, but it doesn't, all the other stuff doesn't, does it bother you?
No, it doesn't. I mean, it's today's version of Joe Namath's white shoes and fur coat. That's what it is, right? I mean, so it doesn't bother me. And when you actually listen to Caleb, you know, people love to draw conclusions based on you know, whether it's him with his family when he was getting emotional after a game or his fingernail polish or whatever it is. When you actually listen to him in interviews, you get a guy that is much more grounded and team-oriented than you perceive from the outside, to your point about diffusing on Wednesday, diffusing from the podium. Caleb, evaluating Caleb, let's just break it out like this. And you're not doing the intangibles like leadership and everything. And I'm just like creating an on-field evaluation. You're evaluating, you know, how does he deal with the schematics of the game in his mind? How does he control the game from the pocket? What's his arm talent like? Can he create and move in order to create? And then can he be a threat with his legs? Those are really the five quarterback traits that I'm looking at when evaluating guys. He is the only guy in the 10 years that I've been covering the NFL draft that I have given an elite grade in all five categories. Nobody gets an elite grade in all five categories. So all this talk about like, well, why is Caleb Williams such a great prospect? That's why, because he can do every single thing on the field and he can do it at an elite level. Controlling the game from the pocket, his arm talent, creating outside, his schematic knowledge of the game, where to go with the football, his threat with his legs. This is why he's going to go number one. This is why we have all been salivating for a year and a half about this player entering the National Football League. If Patrick Mahomes is the best player on the face of the planet, and we know what he was in college, this, at this time in college, is a better version of that type of a player. That's why I love Caleb Williams, and that's why I am firmly in belief that he's the best prospect in this draft.
Now, by the way, you're calling the UFL opener, Stallions, Arlington Renegades, Saturday at 1 Eastern. Do you believe, you're down there now, you just talked to Sark, you're down in Austin, do you believe there will be, if I watch that game, you've seen some of these guys in college. Are there like NFL level players in this stuff? And if so, at what positions?
No, there's no doubt. Yeah, there's no doubt. Well, just think of it. with the league split XFL and USFL, we've had two all pros in the USFL over the last couple of years. You had Kevontae Turpin and Brandon Aubrey. Now I get it. One of them's a kicker, but there are NFL players in the UFL, and the UFL is going to be the best version of spring football that we have seen, period. And the reason is because these two leagues with 16 teams coming down to 8 teams and merging together, it is condensing the talent, which means we're going to have a better crop of offensive linemen overall, and we're going to have a better crop of quarterbacks overall. And that's actually where I see some of these guys getting NFL chances, is at the quarterback position. We saw Alex Magoo last year being the Birmingham quarterback, led him to a championship. Now he's been with the Green Bay Packers and now on their practice squad. Other guys like Case Cookus, I think McCarron could be back into the league. Matt Corral is a talented player from Ole Miss that could get himself back into the league. Jordan Ta'amu. These are really good players. And like I said, the UFL is in a position right now after the XFL-USFL merger to put the best product on the field that we've seen in spring football yet.
Yeah, no, I think you're right here. We have two leagues. It may have been a bit diluted. You combine them. I would make an argument. Every pro league in this country should have fewer teams. When you do that, the teams get better. So I'm excited to watch it. I watched last year and I said, you're not going to find necessarily offensive linemen here. Backs, receivers, corners, kickers, quarterbacks, linebackers. You watch it. There's like NFL bodies out here. Joel Klatt, who, by the way, you were in Austin. There's no way you went to Austin and didn't stop by to see Sark. Tell me you did.
Well, that's why I went to Austin. So I interviewed Sark. I've got a whole new crop of Big Noon Conversations coming to the podcast for this summer. And I sat down with Sark for 30 minutes. It was a really good interview. Watched their practice. That's going to be one of the best four teams in the country next year. They're going to be really good.
Did he say he misses me? You know, I used to see him occasionally.
You know, oddly, he didn't mention you, but I think it was just an oversight. I'm sure it was just an oversight.
By the way, I did not rip off your mock draft, but I do think we think alike.
No, that's fine. No, that's an indictment. If I'm hearing that, that's an indictment. You might think of it as a compliment, but that's fine.
Yeah, I'm not going to get into that. Let's be friends in the off season. There's no reason to have any of this turf war. Border skirmish here in March.
That's fun. You know what we got to do? You know what I think would be fun? And what? I think your listeners would like, because people have asked me that. I need to come in and we'll do the one-for-one mock draft.
Oh, yeah, we did that.
Mock draft
we did
back
that.
And forth. We should do that again.
Are you if you're available and not out on the town, why don't you come up here and do stuff? I'm here grinding
out of the town.
Yeah, I'm grinding on the treadmill every day. You're out there hanging out with Sark and you know, whatever.
Yeah, in glorious hotel rooms in the spring, grinding. You know what? That's fine. It's great to see you, brother.
All right, Joel Klatt. What makes Mercedes-Benz electric vehicles different? What gets you there? Mercedes is what moves you, like no other automaker can. The vehicle's all electric, the feeling all Mercedes, the choice all yours. Learn more at mbusa.com/EQ.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. 90 seconds, all it takes. Use the code HERD. New customers bet $5. That's it, $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race,
a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots. And Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots made by hand, time-honored tradition with timeless styles, always on trend. They have first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. If you can't make it to a store, visit Tecovas.com, T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
When your business reaches a certain scale, challenges begin to surface. You deserve a customized solution. It's called NetSuite. Go to netsuite.com/herd. They have the KPI checklist absolutely free. J-Mac with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herd Line News.
So you loved the Dynasty, the doc about the New England Patriots, and I thought this was one of the smartest things. Like, Julian Edelman's been on our show a ton, you know?
Yeah.
I thought this was one of the smartest things he said defending Bill Belichick.
Okay.
If you're in your 30s and you've played football, I don't think you ever liked your football coach. You loved him, but you didn't like your football coach. Just like I didn't like my parents when they made me do things that they knew was going to make me a better person. Right. You know, doing the little for preparation, doing walkthroughs. I hated it. I bitched about it all the time, but we needed it.
Right.
You know, right. And that's absolutely why you went into every single game knowing you out-prepared that team and you had a shot to win.
Yeah, I agree that. I agree with that. I think here's what I would say. But you do reach a point culturally and generationally when you can't treat Brady at the end like you treated him in year three. Tom had become a superstar, and he was only asking for a little bit more respect and input. Tom was not a diva. He took pay cuts. Kirk Cousins made more money in the NFL today than Tom Brady did, believe it or not. So it's not that Tom, I think everybody sort of understands he was hard, or they would have all asked for trades and demanded trades. They didn't. Everybody knew it was winning. But Bill, I've seen this with a lot of older coaches. They get stubborn, and as the world, John Calipari, why I do one and done? Well, you're losing to St. Peter's in Oakland. You can't do the one and done. Your sport's getting older. Greg Popovich, I'm not going to shoot threes. Well, you're now bad year after year. Where Bill made the mistake, and it's hubris and vanity, whatever it is, rigidity, is that, hey, Tom, now, you can't call him out and be on him every meeting. Like, everybody gets in the room. Tom is winning these games. We have no receivers outside of Edelman at the end. It was Gronk and Edelman. And then dependable receivers. So what Belichick did is, I have no problem with Belichick's first 16 years. It's the last couple with Tom that I think he just, the world, he treated Cam Newton better that year he was in New England than he did Tom in the last five in New England.
Yeah, new guy. He'd been with Brady forever. But Edelman just, that's really smart. Like,
yeah.
You know, my kids don't like me when I say, you got to do this, you got to do that.
Oh, yeah.
But I know they love me, you know, like, take the trash can in from the curb and it's like World War III.
Oh, I know.
You know, I'm sure you're past those days, but it's smart stuff from Edelman.
Now, my son pushed back on me this morning because instead of saying good morning, I asked him a question. He said, well, and good morning to you too.
Oh.
So it's like, it doesn't go away. They're judging you. It's okay. It's kind of funny.
I'll say this. There seems to, like, the tide is turning. Initially, watching the doc, you're like, oh, Belichick, what a bad guy. Belichick, oh, yeah. How did they succeed with Belichick in the way? And now you're starting to see a turn. Well, oh, wait a minute. So the Kraft family was kind of behind all this. Interesting.
Well, that's because the Kraft family, I think, deep down, just wanted to be treated with a little respect and decency. And when Belichick wouldn't make eye contact, you know, again,
I don't have to love my bosses. There's a level of respect and decency you should show them, and I think Belichick sometimes failed at that. I'm not anti-Belichick, but I don't think he aged particularly. Yeah. There's a reason the market spoke. He could not get the Falcons job. He could not get the Commanders job. The market spoke.
Yeah. All right, let's get to the NFL draft. I know you had your mock draft earlier. A lot of J.J. McCarthy movement. I'm on the record saying a lot of it is just smoke. According to the New York Daily News, J.J. McCarthy will have a private workout with the New York Giants on Sunday. New York Giants drafting sixth. We know they don't have a quarterback because Daniel Jones is not a professional quarterback. And Giants owner John Mara said he would support the team drafting a quarterback despite his confidence in Vanilla Vic, a.k.a. Daniel Jones. I don't see this at all. I'm J.J. McCarthy and the Giants at six. I'm not buying it.
I think if I was J.J. McCarthy, get me to Minnesota.
Yeah, you want to be. Well, being with Brian Daboll is not the worst thing in the world. The problem is the Giants stink. There's no talent. The line's
not. I mean, how many offensive players, serious question right now, how many offensive players for the Giants start for the Vikings? And do not say Andrew Thomas left tackle, because I don't know if he grades as high as the Vikings left tackle. I don't think they don't have a receiver that starts.
Yeah.
They don't have a tight end that starts. Aaron Jones is better now that Saquon Barkley's gone. On the offensive line, there may be a guard position. The Giants don't have a, and I take Darnold over Daniel Jones. The Giants don't have a single offensive player that would start for the Minnesota Vikings.
Okay, so obviously the Giants are going to work him out fine. But somebody keeps pushing this J.J. McCarthy top six. It's either the Cardinals, because they want someone to come and trade up to four, or it's the Chargers. I mean, maybe the Patriots are getting involved, but somebody's pushing all this on the media to get it stirred up so that somebody desperate says, oh, J.J. McCarthy's going to be off the board. We got to trade up. Somebody's really playing the media well here, and I'm just not buying it. I think everybody's going to end up standing pat come draft night, and McCarthy goes to the Vikings at whatever
spot.
Well,
you know the Chargers want to trade back.
Of course they do. Badly. They need picks.
I know. I will say strongly, Denver and the Chargers want to move back. Doesn't mean they will. But the bottom line, if you like Bo Nix, you can trade back four spots, get a second round pick or a third, which Denver needs, and still get Bo Nix.
You could probably trade back 10 spots, and we like Nix, right?
You probably wouldn't take that gamble, but you'd go 4 to 5 back. Because, you know, having been in a war room before, you kind of know the one or two positions teams are drafting. And so, to me, Seattle and Penix or Bo Nix make sense. And I could see Seattle moving up, moving back four spots, and still getting one of those guys.
Is Miami a wild card? Because that Tua
extension. Well, the Raiders need a quarterback, too. So they're at 13. There's another.
That's the thing. They have Minshew and Aiden O'Connell. Could they talk themselves into, guys, let's see what we got with these two. Let's just see. Minshew's been a great relief pitcher. Aiden O'Connell, not great, but he's shown some flashes. Let's just see what we got. And let's not settle for the fifth best quarterback in this draft. And let's go for next year. Is that an option?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't like anything about the Raiders at all right now. But final story. Let's get to LeBron James. The greatest player in NBA history returned to the lineup last night. He had a decent night, right? 23 points, 14 boards, 12 assists. Triple-double in the win over the Memphis Grizzlies. Lakers looking good. Here's LeBron on picking and choosing when to rest.
I got to be smart with it. If I'm not, you know, healthy or any close to being healthy, then it's not good for our ball club anyways. It's not good for me.
How tough is it for you to balance the urgency of the team situation right now with recognizing that if you compromise the ankle now, you know, there's still more games to be played? How do you go through that process, I guess?
Just be very strategic on, you know, what. You know, obviously games and, you know, how many days in between games and flights and things of that nature, obviously.
So, interesting Lakers schedule down the stretch. For whatever reason, they don't have many tough games left. I mean, it's Indiana.
Well, they remember, for the TV schedule, the Lakers played a lot of big marquee games early this year so the NBA can get some early momentum. We talked about this about 3 months ago. It makes their late season schedule very weak. So they load up a lot of times on the Warriors and Steph, LeBron and the Lakers early for momentum, and then those guys get easier schedules down the stretch. So last night they totally controlled Memphis, not that competitive, no, without AD.
Listen, the Pacers are okay. Lakers can handle them. The Nets are a dumpster fire. Toronto is...
Lakers are going to go on a winning streak here.
Well, again, I don't know that LeBron's going to play in all these. Like, what's the point? Don't need him in Toronto.
Ask yourself this. If the T-Wolves have something locked up, who are they going to play? Yeah. Cavaliers could rest starters. Pelicans at the end of the season.
We don't know where they are. Yeah. But I will push back on this. You and Nick, I think, were saying, like, the Lakers want to see the Nuggets early. I don't know that I agree with that, Colin. They saw them late last year. LeBron was phenomenal in the series, right? They saw him in the conference finals. Lakers pushed him in every single game. Keep an eye on this Jamal Murray situation. He's been in and out of the lineup this year. I don't think he played last night. I don't know, man. I think the Lakers could easily make the conference finals.
I don't
want to see the Nuggets first round. You're not beating them early.
No. Now that we've moved Austin Reeves to a four.
Oh, stop it. When has D'Angelo Russell ever been? You want me to pull up D'Angelo Russell's numbers against the Nuggets last
year? I'm not saying I trust him. I'm saying he has played like a three. And I think D'Angelo strangely plays better without LeBron sometimes.
Well, yeah. He gets the ball in his hands.
He gets the ball more.
Yeah. Reeves was clearly gassed from the Bucks game. He had nothing left.
He had nothing left.
Russell was good, though. Russell, I know you're a big D'Angelo Russell fan.
I'm not.
Swagged out players.
I think since he got benched in December, I think we have to be fair on this show. AD has had a great year and a half. If you go to the last year and a half in the league, AD's a top six player. He's been insane.
Let's go top 10 just to be safe.
Top 8. And D'Lo, since December, 20 points a night, 6 assists. He's been a real player. He's been excellent. So you got to be fair. I mean, new information, new opinion. He drives me crazy. And last year in the playoffs, he went sideways.
Well, listen, when you know you're on the verge of getting shipped to, like, Siberia, a.k.a. like Toronto or one of these bad teams.
That's a fine town.
Siberia. It's a terrible team right now. But you don't want to get sent to one of these cellar dwellers unless you want to spend your summer in Cancun and, you know, vacation. But he wants to be in the playoffs, man. These guys want to win.
J-Mac with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
Yes, when your business reaches a certain scale, challenges surface. Check out netsuite.com/herd. You deserve a customized, tailored solution for your needs. They have a KPI checklist. It's free. netsuite.com/herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, gang, this is Jay Glazer, host of Unbreakable, a mental wealth podcast. And every week, we will have on leaders from sports, entertainment, like Sean McVay, Lindsey Vonn, Michael Phelps, David Spade, Guy Fieri, and also those who can help us in between the ears. Anyone from a therapist to someone like Ed Mylett or John Gordon. We've all been through some sort of adversity. To get to the top, we've all used different tools. Listen to Unbreakable with Jay Glazer, a mental wealth podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get podcasts.
The 82-game preseason is in the books. It's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. The code is HERD. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. $200. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots. And Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots made by hand, time-honored tradition with timeless styles, always on trend. They have first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. If you can't make it to a store, visit Tecovas.com, T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
This week, Fox Saturday Baseball returns with a star-studded showdown as Aaron Judge and Juan Soto lead the Yankees against Jose Altuve and the Astros, where the Giants take on the Padres. It all begins at 7 Eastern. Check for the game in your area.
Yankees off a, play ball today. A's don't know where they're going to play eventually. Shohei Ohtani's a bit of a mess, some postponement. But the Yankees had a bad season. They got to bounce back. A lot of pressure on Aaron Boone. A lot of people in New York were unhappy. By the way, we had my first, probably only, or next to only, mock draft today. My 12 picks. Really feel strongly about this based on people I've talked to. Now, if I got half right, I'd be lucky. But I do think Caleb Williams, Drake May. I don't think Washington, with that offensive line, where Sam Howell took a beating, they're going to go with a bigger, stronger quarterback, Drake May, with Cliff Kingsbury. You know, Kingsbury had a smaller quarterback in Arizona. Kyler Murray got dinged up. I can see Cliff Kingsbury saying, I want 6'4.5", 225, 230 pounds. Jaden Daniels actually works in New England because they don't have any speed on the perimeter, and he's kind of a Lamar Jackson playmaker. New England doesn't have any playmakers. Marvin Harrison's a fit for me, very quiet. By the way, after the Kyler Murray noise, they'd love a nice, quiet wide receiver, Marvin Harrison. I do think the Vikings move up. J.J. McCarthy succeeds if he lands there. Giants now losing Saquon. Darren Waller may retire. You got to give Daniel Jones at least a chance. Malik Nabers is a burner. Joe Alt, Tennessee feels obvious. Dallas Turner, Atlanta feels obvious. A lot of people think the Bears are going to go for a receiver, but they've got two excellent receivers now and two capable tight ends. They need more people up front, and I think your coach is going to bang the table. Ryan Poles has spent a lot of time and money on offense over the last 2 years. You got to give Montez Sweat some help up front. I think they get Jared Verse, who I watched play a couple of times. The Jets have a one, but Mike Williams is not dependable physically. He would be a two if he's healthy, but I think you bring in Rome Odunze. And even if he's a three the first year, he'll become your two by Thanksgiving if Mike Williams is banged up. And then I think the Chargers go with a really good road grading tackle who can really run block. Harbaugh said he wants to run the ball, take the burden off. This is what he did with Andrew Luck, J.J. McCarthy. He wants to do the same with Justin Herbert. Doesn't want him throwing 38 times a game, 32 max. And then I do think maybe it's a bit of a reach, but Michael Penix stays in Seattle, goes to the Seahawks. His offensive coordinator in college is now with the Seahawks. I think Penix, I'm not going to worry too much about the injuries. The guy's a big kid with a great arm, big reach, big hands. People get hurt all the time. 50 quarterbacks played last year. He didn't get hurt at Washington. I'd roll the dice and let him go. They've got a great run game potentially with two running backs. I think Seattle, you sit behind Geno. I bet you by Thanksgiving, Michael Penix is on the field. And I kind of feel strongly about that. I think Penix fits that spot better than Bo Nix. Bo Nix, I think, is perfect for Sean Payton later.
Mm. Wow. If Roma Dunize is there at 10 for the Jets, tough not to love him. We have some wide receiver guy coaches who've come into this studio, and they say he's right there with Harrison.
And focused, no distractions, perfect for New York. Hour three next.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high-performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlansport.com.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.